You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I always keep my music bag in my car so that I always have my music. And I was going to sing tonight. And guess what? My music bag was not in my car. So, hopefully I won't forget any of the words. I'll try not to. If I do, y'all just make up your own.
Shoulder when I'm low in the storm, he's always been my lightning rod. He's the shoes upon my feet, the food I have to eat. There ain't never been another like my good God. He's my listener when I'm talking, the leader when I'm walking. I'll trust him on this road I gladly trod. He's my friend when I'm lonely, he's my one and only. There ain't no one like good God. It really doesn't matter if I'm not living high. I'm glad to get along on meager fare. I'll never be the one to ever question why. Living right beside my Jesus, I'm a millionaire. He said he would watch my front. I know he's got my back. I started out to reach it and I'm right on track. You'll never have to pull or prod. I'm just walking with my do-good God. He's my shelter when I'm cold, a shoulder when I'm low. In the storm he's always been my lightning rod. He's the shoes upon my feet, the food I have to eat. There ain't never been another like my too good God. He's my listener when I'm talking, the leader when I'm walking. I'll trust him on this road I gladly trod. He's my friend when I am lonely, he's my one and only. There ain't no one like my too good God. He's my shelter when I'm cold, a shoulder when I'm low. In the storm he's always been my lightning rod. He's the shoes upon my feet, the food I have to eat. There ain't never been another like my too good God. He's my listener when I'm talking, the leader when I'm walking. I'll trust him on this road I gladly trod. He's my friend when I am lonely, he's my one and only. There ain't no one like my too good God. He's my friend when I am lonely, he's my one and only. There ain't no one like my too good. No one like my too good. No one like my too good God.
You done good, girl. Purse got all that money in it. Thank you. That was great. Wasn't that good? Talk to you out of the book of Jonah tonight, and if you'd like to have a Bible to follow along, if you lift your hand, we've got some ladies that'll bring you one. I know some of you bring your Bibles. Got some right in here. And we're probably, just by looking, we're probably going to run out, but we may not. You've run out. Okay, we got one. Okay, here's... Okay. We'll bring some more next week.
Do you want me to get some of
those out of the closet? Oh, that's all. Not those. We don't use them. No. No. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. They did a good job. This is our first time to do this. We usually have the guys do this, and we enlisted the pretty side of the room tonight. And they've helped us. We thank them. The book of Jonah, you may take you a minute or two to find it. I have a hard time finding Jonah. It's one of those little small books in the Old Testament. You can go through, you can find Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah pretty easy. And then Daniel, but you come to Amos and then Obadiah and then Jonah. Everybody remembers the story of Jonah. Doesn't everybody believe it, but everybody remembers it. And it's an unusual book. And God prepared four things for Jonah that we're going to talk about tonight. And then the question will be, what's God prepared for you? But He prepared four things for Jonah. Now, let me say this about the book of Jonah. It is not a fable. It's a true story. It's about a man who ran from God. People found out he was running from God. God brought a storm on the ship. They threw him out of the ship. He said, "You're going to have to throw me overboard. You're going to kill everybody." And they did. And the first thing God prepared for Jonah was a big fish or a whale. Jesus called it a whale. It said big fish in the Old Testament, whale in the New Testament. And along comes some smart aleck scientist and said, "Well, it can't be a whale because a whale is a mammal." Now, a long time before that scientist was born, in the book of Genesis, so if you found Jonah, just hold your finger there for a little bit, and we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. That's at the very beginning, very start of this. And in Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 21, it said, "And God created great whales." By the way, this is the only species in the Bible that God named. Adam named every other animal and flying fowl and so forth. But God mentioned whales before He ever created Adam. And He said that God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. All marine life was created on the fifth day. Man wasn't created until the sixth day. Animals weren't created until the sixth day. The marine life, and God considered a whale marine life. Isn't that odd? And then we come by and somebody said, "Well, it couldn't be a whale because a whale is an animal and or a mammal, and the Bible said a fish." God said a whale was a fish. It's marine life. So, also this whale or fish that Jonah was, that caught Jonah after he threw him overboard, that's the first thing God prepared. This is not just ordinary whale, ordinary fish. It was prepared fish that's going to take Jonah with him. Another thing about Jonah. They asked Jesus Christ one time for a sign, and He said, "The only sign I'll give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Jesus Christ believed that Jonah, and notice what He said, who was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Jesus said that's where he really was. Now, either Jesus lied about that, or that really happened. It wasn't a fable. Somebody said, "Well, do you expect me to believe that Jonah lived 3 days in the belly of a fish?" No. Bible said he died. He didn't live in there. He died. If he didn't die, he couldn't be a sign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And his body was 3 days and three nights in the tomb. Jesus said As Jonah was, so shall I, or the Son of Man, be. So, again, we're dealing with a real event, real people, real facts, and we're dealing with a guy that's not, maybe not painted quite as bad as we've painted him. Jonah chapter 1, the first verse says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And we pointed, or painted Jonah as somebody that's just running from God, and he was. Except he wasn't running because he's got a crack house. He wasn't running because he's caught in adultery. Do you know why he was running? Jonah was a patriot. He loved his nation, Israel. And he knew the Assyrians, of which Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And they were God's enemies. And God said, "I want you to go preach to them." And Jonah, knowing God, said, "Man, if I do that, he'll save our enemies. And I don't want that." It's amazing that there are just some people we don't want to get right with God. I caught myself in this one. I understood a little bit more about Jonah back when Larry White and Odessa people are familiar with this. A few years ago, shot and killed three policemen here. And at that time, I was police chaplain, one of the police chaplains, and we just come in from prison. We'd been in seminar in prison. I can't remember, Colorado City or somewhere. We came in, and as soon as I heard about it, I went and changed my chaplain uniform and took out. And as I was walking out the door, Linda said, "May I?" Boy, I hope one of them wasn't Arlie Jones. And Arlie Jones was the first one this guy killed. Arlie Jones was a good friend of ours. Arlie Jones was a type of cop that people he threw in jail loved him. He just had that something about him. He believed in ministry. He believed in trying to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And he supported what we were trying to do, an angel tree program in the rec room. And let me tell you, I kind of dug my heels in the dirt. I don't want to talk. Somebody come up to me, "Have you talked to Larry White? Have you presented the gospel to Larry White?" No. In fact, in the back of my mind, I'm saying, "I ain't talking to Larry White. He killed a good friend of mine." Probably a year went by, and I got a call from a guy that I went to college with who was kind of semi-related. He said, "Leland, would you go see him for me?" And I didn't tell him my feelings about it. I just said, "I'll do it." And that's the first time that I've seen him. And at that time, and I don't know how all this occurred, don't know when, but Larry White assured me he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior sometime before. And he talked like it, and he acted like it, and I didn't know if I liked that or not. I was still, and then God began to deal with me. Do we believe this message that we have? And the truth of the matter is, as I got to know him a little bit and visited with him more, and we discussed the Bible, I kind of liked the guy. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, there's been a time in our life when folks wouldn't have liked us. Some of you, maybe this is the time. I don't know, you know. But I can tell you, and man, I've done some things I hope you don't find out about. I've done some things that were just bad. Somebody said, well, I never killed anybody. He hadn't. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder already in your heart. Jesus said, if you've lusted, you've committed adultery already. See, you don't have to actually do it. You just want to do it. And I'm going to tell you, there's some folks I wanted to erase. Hey. One of them was a federal attorney. Jonah didn't want to go. He knew his God was a precious, forgiving God. And man, what if I go down there and Nineveh gets saved? And you know what happened? Sure enough, they did. After Jonah is died in that fish, and the fish spits him out on the land, and he hit the ground running, headed for Nineveh. And he's going to do what God tells him to do. And this is kind of interesting, because it said, chapter 3, verse 1, said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Everybody in here has had a second chance. We talk about Jonah. Most of us had 200 chances, 2,000 chances, 2 million chances. But God, and again, God said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. You will preach to what I tell you to preach. You will preach to those people. And it says, so Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It took 3 days to get across Nineveh. This is not wink. Okay? It's a big city. It's not Odessa. It's not Midland. It's not El Paso. It's not even Dallas. This is one big city. And said, then Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, and here's Jonah's message. I can preach this. Listen to this message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You'd have thought he would have, that God would have given him something deeper than that, wouldn't you? Here's his message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8 words. Let me tell you. If God puts his finger on it, it works. And if he doesn't, it doesn't make any difference how intellectual it sounds. Doesn't make any difference how beautiful we can talk. And this is Jonah's message. And notice verse 5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came into the king of Nineveh, and he rose up from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. That was a sign of repentance. We're sorry for what we've done. The whole town turns to God. 7-word message. Simple message. We laugh. Johnny knows this. Brother Doug knows this. Some of you, this Jeffrey, know this. People that's spoken to folks and preached some. You get up and you think you're doing real good and everybody just sits and stares at you. And you get up, you stumble and you fumble and you mess it up and God reaches down and people get saved, lives get changed, hearts get changed. See, that's that anointing of the Holy Spirit on what we say and what we do. That's why I try to stay close to this book. God promised to bless his word. He didn't promise to bless one thing I got to say. He really didn't. But he will bless this book. And so, the whole city turns to God. And the last verse 10 of the last verse, chapter 3, said, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. When they repented, he didn't destroy them. And that was the thing that Jonah feared. He wanted them destroyed. They're our enemies. He knew that there'd be a day they would come back and overthrow Israel. Let's get rid of them, God. And God saved them. And Jonah got mad. He's typical modern day Christian. God didn't do it like he wanted it done. And notice verse 1, chapter 4, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He's angry because the whole city gets saved. Can you think about that? He's angry because some people are not going to hell anymore. They're going to heaven. And he's upset about it. He's mad about it. Now, and him and God have a little conversation about that. Verse 5 says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what become of the city. He's up there pouting, getting away from everybody. Now, I told you that God prepared four things. He prepared that fish. Now then, notice in verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Here's Jonah mad at God, upset with God, all bent out of shape. And God in his goodness is not only saved Nineveh. Here's one of his kids you ought to have been kicking in the other end. And yet he prepared a big gourd to come up and cover Jonah so he could sit comfortably. And the sun is not beating on him. And he can be cool. God is helping him enjoy life, as it were, making him comfortable. And it said that Jonah liked that. Man, that's good. He was glad for that gourd. Verse 7. But God prepared a worm. That's the third thing God prepared. A worm, when the morning rose up the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. That gourd just died. And it's no longer any comfort to Jonah. We get in our comfort mode. See, we want God's comfort and protection, but we're never thankful for it. Not one time did Job say, man, Lord, Jonah, say, Lord, I really thank you for that gourd. That's, you know, I thank you for just putting up with me. You let me whine and pout and carry on, rant and rave. But thank you for letting me do that. But then in all of that, you made it comfortable for me. We don't thank God for things. And so God prepared a worm, it took it away. And then, now Jonah's going to get madder. Because see, we have things that we didn't do one thing for. Jonah didn't do a thing for this gourd. That comfort that he had is not about of what he did. God gave it to him. Your physical traits, God gave to you. You were born in America where it was freedom. You had freedom. You didn't earn that just because of where we were born. Some of you, you've got folks supporting you and backing you. You've got friends. Some of you got good jobs. You have the ability to work. And if something comes along and that stops, we're mad at God. And I'm going to tell you, things can come along and it'll stop. There are things like strokes. There are things like heart attacks. There are things like car wrecks. There are things like cancer. 9 years ago, my life is going along great. I have no problem. And doctor told me in his office I had a year to live. Now, I'm going to tell you, that'll kind of upset you today. That were really, I teased because I like for my life, I live in a rut. I don't want to be out of my rut. I'm comfortable in my rut. And to get out of that, and I'm going to tell you, when the doctor says you got a year or less to live, that'll get you out of your rut. But he was wrong. That's 9 years ago. He was wrong. He was as wrong as the people were that said that the whale is a mammal. They're wrong about it. And so God prepared a worm. And then, because that upsets Job, then God prepared the east wind. He said, okay, Job, I'll just bring some heat on you. And many of you felt God's heat, haven't you? Yeah. You may be feeling it tonight. All of us have felt it more than once. We'll all probably feel it again. God can bring some heat. Don't think for a minute that He can't bring heat. Don't think for a minute, you say, I don't believe in God. That has absolutely nothing to do with it, Bubba. That's like saying, I don't believe in electricity. Well, stick your hand in the socket. Hey, oh man, he brought that east wind, a vehement east wind, it said, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. It's an amazing thing, the many people in the Bible, God's people, that said, I just want to die. One was Elijah. Elijah had met all of the ministerial alliance in a showdown and called down fire from heaven. And not only did it come down and burn the sacrifice, it burned up 12 barrels of water. And he had a head-on with Ahab, and he was a man, one of God's men, fearless. And then Ahab's wife, old Jezebel, said, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. And you know what Elijah did? He run off. He run off, got up like Jonah did, got up there by himself, feeling sorry for himself, and you know what he did? He said, Lord, just kill me. He didn't mean that. If he'd have meant that, he could stay down there with them. Jezebel's going to kill him. You want to get killed? You get killed. Why are you up here? Hey, oh Lord, just take my life. Maybe some of you have not only thought that, tried that. I mean, usually people ever at least once a month, sometimes more than that have tried that. And my question always is this. Where would you be right now if it had worked? Have you thought about that? Now, he prepared a big fish. He prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. And he prepared a venomous east wind. And he saved the nation of Nineveh. Notice the very last verse. God said, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons. That's 120,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand and all so much God. He said there's 120,000 kids in that town, Jonah. You want me to kill them all? There's 120,000 kids. Oh, how sometimes we get so picky and we get so self-centered. Let me tell you about something God is preparing. And I couldn't close without this. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus is talking to his disciples. In the 12th chapter of John, he finishes his public ministry. Son, we'll be through in a minute. Just hang tight. He finishes his public ministry. But he's sitting with his disciples. And here's what he said. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now listen. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. that where I am, there you may be also. Nobody ever has to go to hell. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to just think with me for a minute. Isaiah, God said to Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." I don't care how big a stain sin has made in your life, Jesus Christ can make it white as snow. Is He preparing a place for you? Could you say, "Yes, Jesus Christ is preparing a place for me"? I know this. I know Jesus is fixing me a mansion. I'm going there one day. I've trusted Christ. He's my Savior. I know I'm going there. If the Bible's true, I know I'm going to meet Jesus. If you know that, would you slip your hand up? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. You say, "I know that. I've trusted Christ. I see your hand. God bless you." Slip them back down. Some of you couldn't lift your hand. Now here's what I want you to do. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want you, when Charles begins to sing, to step out and say, "I want to trust Christ tonight as my Savior. I want to have a prepared place." Let's stand while heads are bowed, eyes still closed. Just as you are, would you come? You want that place. Come on. Right now. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. God bless you. Come on. You need to come. Just as I am. Come on.
Just as I am.
Come on. You doing what God wants you to do? You have a prepared place? Come on.
Today, whose blood can cleanse, He's followed it. I come.
Just as I am. Keep singing, John. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Do you have a prepared place?
Just as I am.
This is the last verse if no one comes. Not going to beg you to come, because then I'd have to beg you to stay. But is God speaking to you? Is the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, saying, "This is it, this is what you need to do"? If He's not, I don't want you to come at all. But if He is, then you need to hear that. Come on. It's still bad, and eyes closed. We're still some talking down at the front and praying. The refreshments are available. No one has to leave. Thank you for being here. Remember the breakfast Saturday morning. We have a little pamphlet called "What Have I Done and What Must I Do?" It has to do with salvation and what happens after salvation. You can pick that up back at the table on the way out. If you got a Bible tonight, would you leave it on the back table? Or, let me say this, if you don't have a Bible, let that be the rec room gift to you and you just keep that Bible. But if you just borrowed one to use tonight, lay it on the back table as you go out. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that came tonight. Deal with those that didn't. Father, we know each heart made a decision tonight. We pray it was for you. And Father, help us to not be a Jonah. But when you call us, that we want to go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.